Canto 11, Chapter 6. Retirement on the advice of Brahma and Uddhava addressed in private. Sri Shuka said, "Thereafter, Lord Brahma arrived in Dwaraka, being surrounded by his sons, the gods, and the lords of men. Lord Bhava, Shiva, also came, the for all living beings favorable controller, who was accompanied by a host of ghostly beings. Also Indra, the powerful controller, and his gods, the Maruts, came, the sons of Aditi, the good souls of clarity, the Vasus, the protectors of health, the Ashwins, the artists, the Ribhus, the descendants of Angira, the expansions of Shiva, the Rudras, the demigods of the intellect, the Vishvadevas, of commerce, the Sadhyas, and other demigods, the singers and dancing girls of heaven, Gandharvas and Apsaras, the souls of Excel, the Nagas, the perfected souls, Siddhas, and the venerable souls, Charanas, the treasure keepers, Guyakas, the seers, the Rishis, the forefathers, Pitas, and the scientists, Vidyadharas, as also the souls of special talents, the Kinaras, all came together in Dwaraka, eager to see Krishna, the Supreme Lord who removes the impurities everywhere in the universe, who with his transcendental form enchants the entire human society and spreads his fame in all the worlds. In that splendid city, rich with a great abundance, they, with their hungry eyes, saw Lord Krishna, who is so wonderful to behold. After having covered the best of the Yadus with flower garlands brought from the gardens of heaven, they praised him, the Lord of the living being, and expressed themselves in all kinds of amazing ideas and words. The gods said, "We, with all our intelligence, senses, vital air, mind and words, bow down at your lotus feet, O Lord, the feet upon which they meditate in their heart, who are connected in the love of striving for liberation from the powerful grip of karmic consequences. You, by engaging the material energy consisting of the three basic qualities, create, protect, and destroy the inconceivable cosmic manifestation within yourself while being situated within those modes. Nevertheless, you are by them not entangled in karmic activities at all, O unconquerable one, because you, the irreproachable Lord, are always absorbed in your unrestricted happiness. O worshipable one, the purification of those persons who have a contaminated consciousness is not as much brought about by incantations, respecting injunctions, study of the scriptures, charity, penances and rituals, O greatest of all, as it is caused by listening to those souls who are situated in pure goodness and have a fully matured and transcendental faith in your glories. May therefore us be your lotus feet, the fire that annihilates our inauspicious mentality and that by sages desiring the real benefit is carried in their appeased hearts, the fire of your four forms of soul, ego, mind and intelligence that three times a day is worshipped by the self-controlled devotees so as to reach beyond the material heavens and acquire an opulence like yours. On them, your feet, they are meditating, O Lord, who, having folded their hands, pour the ghee they took into the fire of sacrifice in the Nirukta process of understanding the three Vedas. On them, the yoga practitioners are meditating, who, inquisitive about your yoga maya mystic potency, are united in the realization of the true self. But they are fully attained only by the most elevated devotees. With the withered flower garland that we offer you, your lordship's consort Shri, dwelling there, O Almighty One, feels challenged like a jealous co-wife, for you accept this offering as being properly performed. May there always be your lotus feet, the fire that consumes our impure desires. Your feet, that like flags decorating flagpoles, with three mighty steps, defeat the possessiveness and bring down the water of the Ganges in each of the three worlds, create fear among the armies of the demons and fearlessness among the troops of the God-fearing souls. For the virtuous souls, they are there for the attainment of heaven, and for the mischievous ones, they are there for exactly the opposite, O most powerful one. May these feet, O Supreme Lord, free us, your worshippers, from our sins. Brahma and all the other embodied beings have their existence like oxen bound by a rope through their nose. Being controlled by time, they trouble each other. May the lotus feet of you, the Supreme Personality transcendental to both material nature and the individual person, bring us transcendental happiness. You are the cause of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this universe. You are the cause of the unseen, of the individual soul, and of the complete whole of the manifest reality. They say that you, this very same personality, are the time factor controlling all, who appears as a wheel divided in three, summer, winter, and spring, autumn. One says that you are the Supreme Personality who, in the form of time, uninterrupted in your flow, affects the decay of everything. The living being, beginning with Mahavishnu, acquires its power, potency, from that time aspect of yours. You establish the vastness of matter with it, Mahatattva. United with that same nature, you therefrom generate, the way an ordinary fetus is produced, the golden, primeval egg of the universe endowed with its seven outer layers. You are therewith the original controller of everything that moves and keeps its place. You, after all, are in your activities, O master of the senses, never affected yourself by the change of the objects of the senses that presents itself because of the operating modes of nature. Others, by contrast, engaged of their own accord in austerities, having turned away, live in fear. Your 16,000 wives were enchanting every time they launched the arrows of Cupid by showing their feelings with their eyebrows, smiles, and glances. But they were not able to perturb your senses by all the methods of their messages and advances of conjugal love. The rivers of nectar of your stories and the rivers resulting from the bathing of your feet can put an end to all the impurities of the three worlds. Those who strive for purification and seek association approach you, therefore, in two places: by making their ears listen to the stories the tradition offers in the temples, and by bringing their bodies in the rivers in contact with the water that flows from your feet. The Honorable Son of Vyasa, Shuka, said, "After he who commands hundreds of sages, Brahma, together with Shiva and the demigods, thus had praised Govinda, the Supreme Lord, he addressed him, offering his obeisances from his position in the sky. Sri Brahma said, 'O Lord, we requested you previously to diminish the burden of the earth. O unlimited soul, you have fulfilled that request the way we wanted it. Having established the principles of Dharma among the pious souls and the seekers of truth, it is indeed your glory, spread by you in all directions, that removes the impurity of all the worlds. For the benefit of the universe, assuming a form and descending in the Yadu dynasty, you, with magnanimous deeds, have performed incomparable activities. O Lord, those saintly souls who in the age of Kali hear and chant about your activities will easily overcome the darkness. O Supreme Personality, since your descent in the Yadu Vamsha, 125 autumns have passed, O Master. O you, foundation of everything, for you there is no longer any obligation to the God-fearing souls, and the remaining part of the dynasty has factually been annihilated by this curse of the Brahmins. Therefore, we ask you whether you intend to leave for your supreme abode and, if you please, want to protect us, the servants of Vaikuntha, and the guardians of all worlds and their inhabitants. The Supreme Lord said, I've understood what you said, O controller of the demigods. All the work has been accomplished for your sake. The burden of the earth has been removed. This same Yadu family, that with my appearance has expended its power, courage, and opulence, threatened to devour the entire world, and has therefore been checked by me, just like an ocean is checked by its shore. If I would not withdraw the vast dynasty of overly proud Yadus, this world would be destroyed by that flood. Because of the Brahman's curse, right now the annihilation of the family has begun. After that has taken place, O sinless Brahma, I will pay a visit to your abode. Sri Shuka said, thus being addressed by the Lord of the world, the self-born one fell down at his feet to offer him his obeisances. The Godhead then returned to his abode together with the different gods. The Supreme Lord thereafter observed the development of serious portents in the city of Dwaraka. He spoke to the assembled Yadu elders. The Supreme Lord said, these very serious disturbances appearing everywhere are a consequence of the curse the Brahmins pronounced against our family. It is impossible to counteract. We should not stay here if we want to continue with our lives. Let us not delay, O venerable souls, and this very day go to Prabhasa, that so very pious place. The king of the stars, the moon god, who was seized by consumption because of a curse of Daksha, once took a bath there, was immediately freed from his offense, and resumed the waxing of his faces. When we also bathe there to the satisfaction of the forefathers, offer different kinds of foodstuff to the demigods and the venerable scholars, and also distribute gifts with faith in them as being worth the charity, we will overcome the terrible danger, just as one with boats crosses the ocean. Sri Shuka said, O child of the Kurus, the Yadavas, who were thus instructed by the Fortunate One, decided, after due consideration, to go to the holy site and yoked their horses to their chariots. O King, Uddhava, as an ever-faithful follower of Krishna, happened to hear what the Lord had said. Facing the fearful evil omens, he approached the Lord of the Lords of the Universe in private and addressed him with folded hands, bowing down his head at his feet. Sri Uddhava said, O Lord and God of Gods, O Master of Yoga, O Piety of Hearing and Singing, you are about to withdraw this family now and give up this world. Even though you, as the Supreme Controller, are very well capable of it, you are not willing to counteract the curse of the Brahmins. O Keshava, I cannot, even for half a moment, tolerate to give up your lotus feet. Please take me with you to your abode. Your pastimes are supremely auspicious, O Krishna. They are nectar to the human ear. Once people have the taste of them, they forsake all desire for other things. How can we, who were always devoted to you when we were lying down, sitting, walking, standing, bathing, recreating and eating and such, ever abandon you, our dearmost self? Eating the food remnants and adorned with the garlands, fragrances, garments and ornaments that you enjoyed, we, your servants, will conquer the illusory energy for certain. The but in air-clad, sinless, peaceful members of the renounced order, who as sages of strict observance always send their seat upwards, go to the abode known as Brahman. We, on the other hand, O greatest of all yogis, who in this world wander on the paths of fruitive labor, will together with your devotees pass beyond the hard-to-conquer darkness by discussing the topics that make us remember and glorify your deeds, words, movements, broad smiles, glances, and your amorous sports after the example of the human world. Sri Shuka said, "Thus being informed, O King, the Supreme Lord, the son of Devaki, for a long time spoke in private with his dear servant Uddhava.